turn, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 8. And we'll look at a scripture there. And before I read the scripture, let me just say a few words. We live in a time that is very easy to become afraid of what you see coming upon the planet. If you keep up with current events in the political realm, in the geopolitical realm, just looking at societies, just looking how this wave of darkness, of gross darkness, has just moved into societies. However, at one time you would have a small percentage of the population that appeared to have some type of a mental disorder based on their actions. Now you're looking at whole segments that seem to think in the realm of darkness rather than to try to move towards the things of light. It's a time that you see Christian persecution rising all over the world in almost every nation. And even in the United States, you see our government in the United States taking a stance against Christianity that has never been seen before. I believe it is the Department of Justice right now has a $300 million lawsuit against the largest Christian college in the nation. Whereas in the past, when they brought these lawsuits, it would be $3 million or $4 million. But it's up $300 million to try to put this college out of business. It's already starting in our nation. It started when they told you that this is no longer welcomed in the schools, no longer welcomed in your workplaces. It started there, and now with the advent of the LGBTQ movement, things have become a fever pitch. Because when you say, thus saith the Lord, that corrects whole segments of society. And when we look at all these things, it's very easy for us to become fearful. Oh my God, what is happening? So this morning, I want to remind you of who you serve. This morning, I want to remind you whose child that you are. And that God has always, without any exception, He has always made a division between His people and the people of the world. And that in making that division, He has always, no matter what it took, taken care of His people. Now, this is not one or two little places in the Bible, but this is from the very opening pages of human history all the way through to the book of Revelations. You see, sometimes we let our current mindset warp our scriptural perception. We have what are called Western minds. We were born in a democracy. We now, one of the biggest political bamboozles are the term racism, which simply means that you're treating this person different than that person. Because we live in a democracy and everybody we feel should be treated equal, but the kingdom of God is not a democracy. It is a theocracy. There's only one will. It's the will of the Father. And whatever He says, no one else gets an opinion. No vote, no nothing. Amen. No talking heads on TV saying, I don't like it. None of that. Amen. And so with our Western minds, it's sometimes easy to not look at what the Scripture has presented to us. And we look at what's coming upon the world, and we're not realizing God has always taken care of His people. He is faithful. I said, He is faithful. Now, He's warned the world from the very beginning. He warned the world, and the world never pays attention to God. But God always does the same thing by His people. So in the book of Exodus chapter 8, God is speaking to Moses, and He's telling Moses what to tell the Pharaoh of Egypt. Now in the scripture, Egypt is a type of the world system. And God tells Moses, He says to tell Pharaoh that I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell. How many consider yourself to be God's people? If you're God's people in spirit and in truth, you fit in this. Let me just say this because I have to say it. Just because you come to church don't make you God's people. Just because you call yourself a Christian, that don't make you God's people. You have had to have entered into union with Christ. He has got to be your rising up and your falling down. He's got to be everything to you, where if you have committed your whole life to him, and he's not just an addition to your life. I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mightest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. In other words, when God begins to sever, when he begins to bring a division between the people of God and the people of the world, it's not about the people of God. It's about God's name being lifted up. It's about all the world knowing that he is the Lord in the midst of the earth. And the next sentence is what I want to focus on. The Lord says, I will put a division, a separation between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. God makes no bones about it. Although he is no respecter of persons, he puts a division between the people that are committed to him and the people who are not committed to him. Now he says, whosoever will, let him come. And it's based on our response, what God's attitude is towards us. He's no respecter of persons. Anyone can enter in, but if you don't enter in, you don't get the benefits of those that have entered in. Is that clear? And so he told the Pharaoh, he told the world, and he told his people that in that day, I will put a division. I'm going to treat this people like this, and I'm going to treat this people like this. Now, that's something we got to wrap our minds around. Just because God blesses this one doesn't mean he owes that one anything. See, we live in a time where everybody's got to have a trophy. No, nobody can fail. Everybody gets an A. No matter how ragged your attempt was, everybody gets an A. But God don't play that. And let me just say this. You need to not adapt that attitude. That's the wrong attitude. If you can't perform, you don't get the same as the one who did perform. Well, bless God's name. You might think, well, you know, the world is saying we can, and we're going to go ahead and do it. You're going to end up under a bridge with nothing if you don't unlazy yourself. Amen. And put some work together to achieve. Put a vision in your heart and achieve something. Okay, I'm off my message. But God has put, from the very opening history of the human race, he puts a division between his people and the people who are not committed to him and that pay him no attention. Now, we've seen that in our current society, but sometimes it's hard for us to connect the dots. Remember when AIDS first started, everybody was upset and fearful of AIDS? Do you remember that? AIDS hit the homosexual and the fornicator. If you were single and abstinent, or if you were married and faithful, AIDS had no power over you at all. Zero. You know why? God puts a division between his people and the people that are not committed to him. God blesses his people. The people that have rejected or do not want God, not so much. Now, you might get blessed. God is, you know, he's a gracious God. He makes his sun to rise on the good and the evil. But for the people of God, he has a special grace, and he takes care of them. Go just two more chapters to chapter 10 and look what else happens. Chapter 10, verse 21 says, and the Lord said to Moses, stretch forth thine hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Now get this, right now the world is being covered in darkness. The whole government is coming under the cloak of darkness. The whole geopolitical scene coming under the cloak of darkness. We see it coming in. You can feel it. It's thick. And Moses stretched forth his hands towards the heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. In other words, God knows how to cause hardship to fall right here, and 1 inch further, his goodness falls right there. Now, here's what's important, is to make sure you're in relationship with Christ and not just in church. Because when the rapture occurs, there's going to be people left right in the pews, sitting right there. Because they never really came to Christ. They never really gave their hearts to him. And here's how you know if you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, he's changing you. If you're not changing, you're not saved. I don't care if y'all don't say nothing at all. I'm telling you the truth. If you're not being changed, you're not saved. If you're the same you were 5 years ago or worse, that means you don't know him. Because when the Holy Ghost comes in, he begins to cause all things to be new. Old things are passed away, and there's a new heart, a new life, a new attitude, a new mind. Everything, behold, all things are new. And if that has not occurred to you, you should humble yourself, confess your sins, and say, Jesus, I want you. I want to be saved. I don't want to perish. Man is a stubborn creature. Isaiah gave a prophecy. It was to the children of Israel. But inasmuch as he spoke this of his people, it extends even to the church. He said in Isaiah 60 and 2, he said, For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Now get what he's saying. He's saying this gross darkness, this evil veil of wickedness is going to cover the people. And right at the same time that that's happening, he's saying, my glory is going to come upon you. Well, how could God do that? He puts a division between his people and the people of the world. So I'm saying all this to say this. No matter what happens, no matter how bad that it gets, don't look at what somebody else is getting and say, oh, I'm afraid because look what happened to them. If you would do that, if you would trust God, if you would stretch out on your faith. It was several years ago, I don't know, maybe seven years ago, I was getting a little bit older and a little more out of shape. Because out of shape comes with old. And you have to do more maintenance to maintain yourself. When you're 18, you don't have to do no maintenance. It's just you maintain, auto-maintained. And suddenly I realized that just because I watch other people get older and get weaker and get feeble, why does that have to happen to me? Now, it might happen to me, but I resolved you're going to have to prove it. I'm not just going to accept it because it happened to that person. Amen. And once I changed my mind, I am physically stronger than I was now than I was at 45. But the thing is that you have got to stop looking at what's going on around you and imposing that upon yourself and say, God, I'm your child. Moses was 100 years old. His eyes were not dimmed. His natural force was not abated. Amen. And if God could keep them, well, I'm his child too. I'm his child. See, you and I, we have not because we ask not. I ask God almost in every prayer, God, help me not only to stay physically strong, God, help me to maintain my mental acuity. Hold me together. Because I realize you held me together all these years. From the time I was young all the way till now, you've held me together. Lord, hold me together. Praise God. So he says then that gross darkness is going to cover the people, but at the same time, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. What am I preaching this morning? God puts a difference between his people and the people of the world. But what you and I have to make sure is that we are his people, not church people, not people to call themselves Christians. Hear me today. Ananias and Sapphira were church people. They called themselves by his name. And when God was blessing Peter with signs and miracles, the same God smote them dead. Get that. So this is not, you can't put on here. You can't just say, well, I'll just act like everybody else. Because God sees through all of that. And it's a simple process. It's a simple process. You don't have to have a church. You don't have to have a preacher. You go into your bedroom and shut the door. And you have a come to Jesus moment. God, I'm a mess. Even the people that are supposed to love me don't like me that much. I'm hurting the people around me. I'm doing things that are contrary to your moral code, and I can't help myself. God, I come to you now, and I ask you for your help. And the God of all glory will translate you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And he'll put a label on your heart that says, my people. My people. And so all of these blessings and benefits will apply to you, but you've got to come to him in spirit and in truth. It's not a put on. It's not a put on. And you're going to find out when you do that and you do it correctly, you're going to find a change immediately happens on the inside. And things that you struggle with for decades, perhaps, all of a sudden those things are going to be gone and you're going to realize you're a new creature in Christ. And the benefit of that is that now you're his people. Now you're the righteous. David said, I was young and now am I old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen God turn his back on his own people. Now he may chastise you and chastise you sore, and I've tasted a little bit of that too. But when it's all said and done, he's gonna take care of you. This is all through the Bible that we see this. I'm reading a commentary now on Daniel as I'm preparing for our Revelation Bible class. Daniel was a young man, I don't know, maybe 20 years old when he went into Babylonian captivity. God raised him up through it all. He raised him up to be the third in charge. And some of the men didn't like him because of his Jewish heritage and because of his integrity. And they hatched a plot saying, we're going to put him in the lion's den. And it worked. The plot worked. They put Daniel in the lion's den. And while he was there, God kept him at perfect peace. He protected him. Not one lion showed his claws to Daniel. And when Daniel got out, they threw the men in that conspired against Daniel. And God puts a division between his people and the people of the world. The lions tore them limb to limb. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego threw them into a fiery furnace 7 times hotter. The furnace was so hot that the people that didn't know God and threw them in burnt them up. But Shadrach and them, they just walking around in the fire. When Jesus was in the fire with them. See, you have to understand, no matter what this world does, they threw John on the Isle of Patmos after putting him in boiling oil and he wouldn't burn. And they put him on the Isle of Patmos and God gave him the greatest revelation that's ever been given to any man in the history of humanity. God has your back. Give your life to him. No, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying be a Christian. I'm not saying come to church. I'm saying commit your whole heart and life to God. Love him with all your heart and all your strength and all your mind. It means I don't care about TV. I don't care about entertainment. I don't care about what the world is doing. I only want Jesus. I only want Jesus. If the rapture happened 1 hour from today, I'm ready. There's nothing here I need to complete. I'm ready to go. That's how we have to live our lives. So when the Lord wants to use this vessel, he died that I might live. Now my vessel belongs to him that he can move and breathe and have his being within this mortal vessel. That's what I'm talking about. See, most of us, we'll walk with God just right on the edge. Just right on the edge. And God said, no, launch out into the deep. Get back here into God. Amen. Not right on the edge of the world. Get back in here with God. Praise the Lord. John said, this is the record. that God have given us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. Get this division. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Somebody said, well, that's not the democratic way of doing it. So what? You can't do nothing about it because he's God. Here's the best thing is to realize he's our creator. You breathe because he allows it. You move, you have your mental faculties because he allows it. He causes this whole universe to consist moment by moment. And it just makes sense. He's our creator and he's the creator of all things. It just makes sense that you are to align yourself with him. And all, yes, we have, as Pastor Taylor preached this morning, we have the devil pulling on every hand, but you're going to have to make up your mind whether you want to serve God or not. Because if you can't serve God with all that is in you when things are not bad, let me say it differently. If you can't run with the footmen, you're definitely not going to run with the horsemen. Because you can't, if you can't walk with God in everyday life as good as we have it right here relative to the rest of the world, well, what in the world are you going to do when the Jordan begins to rise? When trouble really begins to come in? When darkness really begins to take hold and we're right at the door, we're already feeling it begin to encroach upon our lives. You're going to have to know that you're God, because the scripture says, them that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I'm not afraid today. I'm not afraid about who gets into the office. It don't matter who gets into the office. It doesn't bother me that our nation is being made a fool of before the whole world. Our enemies are encamped all around about us waiting to just jump in on us. It doesn't bother me at all, because I'm a resident. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And I'm looking for greater things. And I try to press out in my faith, okay? I try to press out in my faith. Let's just say China came over here and took over the United States. And it took some of us back and made us slaves in China. I'm looking to be third in the kingdom. I'm looking for God to raise me up the way he raised up Daniel. Hallelujah. So I said, you're crazy. Crazy for God. Amen. And through everything that you've been through in your life, I know I've been through some deep water. But look at me now. He brought me through. Yea, though you walk through the shadows of the valley of death, you don't have to fear any evil. His rod and his staff is with us. Hallelujah. He makes a table for us in the very presence of our enemies. So as we see all these things coming upon the world, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. And there's nothing that can overcome his decree, that can counter his word, that would cause him to be forced to back away from you. What did the word say? My word has gone forth out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hallelujah. Man, I feel good. See, you can be afraid of what you see happening in the world. Oh, my God, what if the wrong president gets in? Oh my God. No matter which one of them get in, it still ain't going to get no better. You know why? The last book in this Bible is the book of Revelation. And it tells you things are not going to get no better. It tells you, you better get right with God. As a matter of fact, I got just two more minutes. Let me just read this real quick. This is in Revelation chapter 9, verse 2. I'm just going to read it. And my message is, God puts a division between his people and the people of the world, meaning that he can cause his judgment to divide in between the family if he needs to. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass or the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Here's what it's saying. God's power is such that the whole world could be going to hell, but his light is just on you. David said, 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto me. Only with my eyes shall I see to behold the reward of the wicked. That's where I'm standing. I'm going to stand with David. You do what you want to. I'm going to stand with David. Now, saints, I said all of this to say this morning. You better make sure you know that you know that you know. Hell is hot. Eternity is long. There are no second chances. Amen. This is the hour. See, today we still have time to come to God. Whosoever will, let him come. You can go into your own bedroom, into your own privacy, and get right with God. Or you can say, that preacher's just blowing smoke. But when you're burning in hell, I'll be rejoicing in heaven. And I want to see every one of you rejoicing with me. That's my heart. There's no reason for not one of us to perish. You watching by webcast, there's no reason for you to perish. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Let him put that label on your forehead, my people. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we just love you this morning. We thank you for the encouragement of your scripture. We thank you, O God, that you've given us clear indication that we are not appointed unto wrath. God, that you have kept us to make us jewels. Lord, that we carry your seal in our foreheads. We thank you today, Father. We lift you up. We magnify you. Come on all over the room. Why don't you just stand to your feet if you're able this morning, if you're able, and give God praise. Just begin to lift him up and say, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you've translated me from the kingdom of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you've given me these exceeding great and precious promises. Lord, that I can know that I'm your people, and that although darkness and gross darkness covers the earth, covers every aspect of society, but God, that you have made me the light of the world. You have put the light of Christ on the inside of me. Oh, God, I give you glory today. Oh, God, I thank you today for your goodness towards us. How merciful you have been. Lord, that you tell us come without money, without price. And that we could have this gift of life. Father, we thank you today. We love you. And we lift you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it's real. It is real. It is real. The God would put on human flesh and come amongst us, pay all of the price himself so that we could have all of him. What a wonderful Savior we serve. Amen. You can be seated this morning. He is a good God. He is a good God. Just very quickly before we dismiss you, something that we do from time to time, and we need to do this morning, and that is to open the doors of the church for people that want to become members of Christ Unveiled. And this is not a pressure thing. We're not putting pressure on anybody. If you've been coming here and you feel that, hey, I don't want to make a commitment to the church, that's absolutely wonderful. There's no pressure on you. But if you've been coming and listening to the messages and just say in your heart, you know, I like what's going on here. I like what you're doing. I like the commitment to the word. And I want to become a member of Christ Unveiled Ministries. I want you to raise your hand right now if you would. Amen. God sees those hands. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, if you've raised your hand, I will not embarrass you, I promise. I'm going to ask you, if you would just come forward and just meet me right here on the floor, I will not embarrass you. So if you'll just stand, if you'll just stand right here and turn to see the audience. There we go, this way. There you go. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. Well, we are just so glad, so happy that you're making a decision to be with us, to be members of Christ Unveiled. And my wife and I want to make a commitment to you as members. We will never take advantage of you. We will never try to manipulate you. We will give you the Word of God just as it's written. We won't water it down, and we won't make it say something that it doesn't. And we are so glad today that you have entrusted your membership with Christ Unveiled. And with that, I pronounce you members of Christ Unveiled Ministries. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you, come around this way, give them a hug and a handshake, and let them know how much you love them. Amen. My sister, welcome. Welcome to Christ Unveiled. Welcome, my brother. Welcome, my brother. Let him know how much you love him.